We continue with Surah Al-Ankabut from verse 48. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وما كنت تتلو من قبله من كتاب ولا تخطه بيمينك إذا لارتاب المبطلون بل هو آيات بينات في صدور الذين أوتوا العلم وما يجحد بآياتنا إلا الظالمون وقالوا لولا أنزل عليه آيات من ربه قل إنما الآيات عند الله وإنما أنا نذير مبين أولم يكفهم أنا أنزلنا عليك الكتاب يتلى عليهم إن في ذلك لرحمة وذكرى لقوم يؤمنون قل كفى بالله بيني وبينكم شهيدا يعلم ما في السماوات والأرض والذين آمنوا بالباطل وكفروا بالله أولئك هم الخاسرون الله is addressing our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and telling him that O Muhammad, you have never went to a formal academy and formal schooling and taught the and learned the language, the alphabets, and became a literate person. You never have been to the source of knowledge at your time and started to study from the people of the previous scriptures, from the Jews or Christian communities. You never went outside Mecca except for very brief time with your uncle perhaps. But you have never been a formal seeker of knowledge from those people of the book before you embraced Islam. You never learned how to write, how to read. You are an illiterate person. You never been influenced before you got this message of Islam. You have never been influenced by any kind of foreign scholars. And that is a wisdom from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, لَرْتَابَ الْمُبْطِلُونَ. Otherwise, people will start to accuse you that, okay, this Quran that you came, you brought, it has been just an effect for, of you being taught by the people of the book, from the scholars. So you just learned something from Bible and just added few more things and came up with a new book. This has been authored by you. This would have been the accusation, but Allah has protected Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam from such kind of accusation because he never knew how to read and write and never went outside Mecca and stayed for a long time and sought knowledge from those sources of the book. So what remains is that it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, came to you through wahi, through revelation by Angel Jibreel alayhi salam. And it has been propagated through the hearts of the people. Prophet ﷺ taught it to his companions. The companions taught it to the next generation, again through an oral method. And it has preserved in a place where nobody can corrupt it. It is the heart of the believers. This is the most sacred place. If it has been in a book, somebody will come and can corrupt it while copying the book to another copy. But the copies of the Quran in the book form, it has always been a supplementary or a complementary, but the main highway, the main stream in which the Quran has been propagated generation after generation is the oral tradition in the most sacred place, that is the hearts of the believer, in the memory of the believers and the hearts of the believers. So nobody can just come and start casting doubts in the copies of the Quran, because let's say you all in a sudden in an archaeological expedition you come up with a Quran and said, see, it is here, I have a copy which says this and this, and that proves that your book is wrong. Nobody can say it, because it's not like the Bibles and these things that it has been lost from the memory of a generation. No. Quran has continued in the memory through the heart of the people, millions propagating it to billions, and this way. It has always been like this. So we are not waiting for any archaeological digs that other books might have been waiting for to prove something. So Allah has protected these things by the people, by the believers. And not only the Quran, Allah has protected the knowledge of the Quran, meaning Quran and all that is necessary for the knowledge of the Quran to remain, and that is the hadith. Allah has protected the hadith, because you cannot separate the Quran from the hadith. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made his sahaba and the students of the tabi'een, students of the sahaba, the tabi'een, made them in such a way that Allah has sharpened their memories, has created a group of them. They have enjoyed the sharp talents, and Allah has established within this ummah the ilm al-isnad, the science of propagating the hadith chain after chain. And people like Sahih al-Bukhari, Imam Ahmad, Malik, all those great scholars who have exercised and spent their life scrutinizing the hadith and identifying the people who are carrying the hadith within this chain of narrators, until they have recorded this in this book and people memorized it. All these things Allah has made it to preserve this Quran, and that's the greatest characteristics of this ummah, that we have the knowledge, Deen al-Huda and Deen al-Haq. We have the knowledge and we exercise the knowledge, Deen al-Haq. Not only does the knowledge, otherwise it would have been like a donkey carrying encyclopedias, as it was the case, كَمَثَلِ الْحِمَارِ يَحْمِلُ أَسْفَارًا, with perhaps the Jewish scholars. Big volumes, but no amal, no action. بل هو آيات بينات في صدور الذين أوتوا العلم وما يجحد بآياتنا إلا الظالمون. And the nature of the material of the Quran is that it is permanent. It is meant to sustain. The miracles of Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, since he is the prophet to the mankind, his miracle must be in a way that is not localized either in geography or localized in time at his life. No, his miracle has been in such a way that it continues after his death, and it can reach to Scandinavia, it can reach to Africa, Australia, all places. It's not bound to time or geography. And what could it be? What could a miracle be that transcends geography and time? It's a book that is preserved in the hearts. That's why sometimes people, they are more fascinated with visual clues, right? They want to see something in front of them, like maybe a rock, a big rock converting into a camel. These are very amusing things, right? But Allah says, أَوَلَمْ يَكْفِهِمْ أَنَّا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ يُتْلَى عَلَيْهِمْ. Sometimes they ask the Prophet for a physical miracle, which also Prophet provided them. I mean, he's splitting the moon in front of them. It's such a miracle. انشق القمر. Okay. But Allah, out of His mercy, made the miracle of Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is the kitab. أَوَلَمْ يَكْفِهِمْ أَنَّا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ يُتْلَى عَلَيْهِمْ. This kitab, this book is a source of rahmah and a reminder for the people who believe. For the people who believe. So let us rejoice, let us feel happy that we have got this Quran, and let's not just take it lightly as a book we just recited during some occasions in Ramadan, somebody when he's dead, or just a casual reading of the book whenever we like it. Let's put some serious effort to understand what the Quran wants to tell us. And that's the tadabbur for which the Quran was revealed. كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكٌ لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ وَلِيَتَذَكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. And it's very suitable, and it comes to remind us, because we need reminder. By nature, we are forgetful. By nature, we are forgetful. We very often forget things, and Quran is a book of reminder. When you forget something, you read the Quran, immediately you start to connect dots and realize things that are very huge, huge things, big puzzling questions that philosopher asked. Quran in one or two verses comes and solves these things. But it requires what? It requires an iman. Don't read the Quran with the mindset of a person who has doubts. Is it really worth it? Sometimes you read it as a culture. Okay, my fellow people, tribesmen, they read it, I read it. No. With this belief. And that's why the Quran has always been a hudan lil muttaqeen. It's a guidance for the people who have taqwa, who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's guidance for them. In other words, it's not a guidance for those who read it with a doubtful mind. May Allah make us among those who read it with attention. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.